Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. It's Wednesday, May 7th, 2014, episode 10.01, the NFL Draft Preview Show. And if you have listened to NFL Rants and Raves at any point over the past nine seasons, you're already going to be listening and saying to yourself, it sounds different. Well, you are. I'm sure you're wondering by now, where's the big guy? Where's Jeff? Well, I'll get to that as soon as we start the show. We're going to take a look at the NFL draft as it starts Thursday with round one. I'm also going to discuss what would happen to an NFL owner if they pulled a Donald Sterling. That's the Los Angeles Clippers owner in the National Basketball Association. We'll talk about that. And I'm also going to share my opinions on what I think the Houston Texans should do with the number one pick. That's right, the number one pick. And I'll take a look at what might happen on the first night of the 2014 NFL Draft. But first, people, let's chomp it in.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, that intro hasn't been updated yet. It did say Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis. But as you can hear and as you're listening to the show, you'll hear that Jeff is no longer with us. Isn't that what he used to say, right? Jeff is no longer with us. Well, not really. That's not the case. Jeff and I had a long talk and some discussions during the off season, and at the end of the day, we decided that we each wanted to do some different things. And Jeff right now, he's following his heart. He's very happy working on a book about Christianity. He feels very strongly, very passionately about it, and he's working to complete his book. Very happy for him. I know that he's happy working on this project, and we wish him all the best. What I will do is I will keep you posted on what Jeff is up to. Once he get his website up, we're going to put a link on our website on NFL Rants and Raves, put a link on Facebook and Twitter so that you can kind of keep up with Jeff. Of course, you can always continue to reach him at Jeff at RARN. That is his email. He will be around. I'm sure he'd love to listen and hear from the great listeners of the show that we have had. You know, it's funny because Jeff was my temporary permanent co-host. He came in halfway through the first season and stayed for much longer than I ever thought he was going to stay. And so I thank him for that because I'm not sure where the show would have gone had Jeff not been a part of it. But he's not turning football completely away. As a matter of fact, he left today to go to New York. He will be attending the NFL draft. I think only Thursday and Friday, rounds one, two, and three. Nobody really is there on Saturdays anyways. So you'll be able to listen to him on TalkSport UK for all of you listeners overseas. And if you're here in the States, you can go to TalkSport UK and look them up. I think they've got an audio stream that you can listen to Jeff and his NFL analysis on what's going on in the draft. Of course, you're going to continue to see us on Sky Sports News. We're going to still do our thing for Sky Sports. We are their American footballers, if you will. We'll continue to work that angle for Sky Sports. We're very happy and fortunate that they want to continue to work with us. So you'll see us there. You'll see us together. Sometimes you may only see Jeff. Sometimes you might only see myself. It all depends on how life is coming our way, what kind of curve balls are coming our way. We try to knock them out of the park as they come, but there you go. So we'll continue to do the stuff for Sky Sports News. We hope to get to some of the games. I know that Jeff has said that he is interested in going to one of the London games. I know I am definitely going to work really hard to try and make the Dallas Cowboy-Jacksonville Jaguar game. I mean, how can it be that for the last 6 years or what have you, I've gone to every single game at Wembley, and then the Cowboys show up and I'm not there? That just would not be right. Not that I'm cheering for the Dallas Cowboys at all. I mean, mind you, I'm just coming out on record right now. I think after last season, we decided we're just staying away from that. And if you believe that, well, I've got some land to sell you. Some really, really bad, cheap land. Anyways, thanks, Jeff, and we wish you all the best with the book. I think it's going to be great. And as I said, I will continue to keep you all updated on what Jeff has to say. So now it's time to get to the NFL stuff, and let's get to it. I'm going to start with, well, it's not breaking news anymore. It was breaking news a little bit earlier in the day. Richard Sherman, cornerback of the Seattle Seahawks, a brother got paid. Oh, man, became the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Signed a record deal with the Seattle Seahawks, 4-year, $57.4 million contract extension. That easily makes him the highest paid cornerback in the league. And are you ready for this, people? Wait for it. Wait for it. 40 million gura. Boom. Just like that, Sherman's got $40 million in his pocket. Well, not all at once. It's going to come over the next 4 years. But still, guaranteed $40 million. You cannot beat that. That is, and this is coming off the heels of safety Earl Thomas of the Seattle Seahawks getting an extension to his contract, adding 4 years and $40 million. He's only getting $27.725 million, Gura. But still, I think you could say the defensive backfield for the Seattle Seahawks is going to be set for a while with Sherman on one side and Earl Thomas roaming the middle. That goes to tell you a lot about Earl Thomas and how Pete Carroll thought. Remember, he had a chance to take the safety from SC, and he decided to go with Earl Thomas coming out of Texas, paid him big money. But you know what? That also makes Earl Thomas the highest played safety in the NFL. So the Seattle Seahawks, fresh off their Super Bowl win, the defending Super Bowl Seattle Seahawks, now have the highest paid cornerback and the highest paid safety in the league. So their defense must be set, right? The question is now, can that defense carry them? Can they continue their dominance in the NFC? Can they continue their dominance over the San Francisco 49ers, Arizona Cardinals, and St. Louis Rams in the NFC West? Well, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question for the Seattle Seahawks, because they're spending a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. And look, what are they going to do when Marshawn Lynch says, hey, yo, I need some money? And, you know, Russell Wilson, the quarterback there, he's going to be expecting some money soon too. He's coming off getting close to the end of his rookie contract. So there's a lot of money that's going to be having to be thrown around there in Seattle. And as we've seen with teams like the Baltimore Ravens, who won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and the Green Bay Packers, you just can't keep all of your players. You can sign 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 guys the top dollars that you want, but then everybody else who is there just being the guy that you need them to be during that time, they want to go out and they want to make their money too. So it's nice for Richard Sherman and that big 40 million girl in his pocket, as well as Earl Thomas. But it's gonna affect how the rest of the players there in Seattle decide whether they want to stick around in the Pacific Northwest or not. So congratulations to Richard Sherman, because that is a big deal. That actually makes me want to celebrate like this. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's, you know, that almost, I forgot to wish you all a belated Cinco de Mayo. That's how late I was. I really wanted to do the show on Monday, but as I said, life just got in the way, so I had to redo the whole Rave Cave and stuff. I mean, the Rave Cave looks different. It is a different, okay, it's not that different. It's a cave. It's a hole in the wall. So there you go. So it's a hole in the wall, but some equipment needed to get, moved around and reset and crazy stuff. So that's why it took me till the day before the draft to come here. But once again, Richard Sherman, $57.4 million contract extension. It's good for him. When you're the mouth, I guess, of the franchise, right? I mean, he's a big talker. You deserve to get paid big, and he's certainly getting that. And speaking of which, while I call him the draft, I said that I was going to talk to you about something that happened in the NBA. If you haven't heard by now, you've probably been living under a rock, okay? If you don't know that Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, was caught on a recording saying some pretty racist remarks, and I'm not going to get into the, you know, how this particular woman kind of was trying to record him without his knowledge and him kind of just led him down a bad path. At the end of the day, he said some things that, man, just shouldn't have said. And the NBA and the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, they dropped the hammer. It was like, boom, dropped the hammer on Sterling, banned him for life from the NBA. I mean, no activity with the NBA for life. And they also fined him $2.5 million. And the big thing is they're going to force Donald Sterling to sell the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, it's basically Adam Silver saying, look, this is not acceptable. We have, you know, a lot of players, a lot of fans that were really offended by those comments that the owner of the Clippers said. And Mr. Sterling, there's no place for you in the NBA. Richard Sherman, who we just talked about, getting that $40 million paycheck. Basically, this was what Richard Sherman said. He said, no, I don't. Speaking that he did not believe there would be a lifetime ban. Because we have an NFL team called the Redskins. I don't think the NFL really is as concerned as they show. The NFL is more of a bottom line league. If it doesn't affect their bottom line, they're not as concerned. So Richard Sherman, what he's coming out and saying, this was an interview that I believe he gave to Time. And yeah, it was. It was with Time magazine. And Sherman said, I don't believe there would be a lifetime ban for an owner in the NFL if he made those racist comments. And I'm going to agree with Richard. I don't know what Richard's thinking is here. I don't know Mr. Sherman. I've only seen him on a football field a couple times and asked him a couple questions, and he kind of barked at me then. So I'm sure he's probably going to bark at me a little bit now. But I'm going to disagree with Sherman. I believe that Roger Goodell would step up to the plate, and he would do the exact same thing Adam Silver did in the NBA, and he would ban an owner for life, and he would make that owner sell that franchise. He would get all the other 30 owners, because unless it was Green Bay, but no, Green Bay doesn't have an owner, but he'd get that. He would get those folks there in the front office to all gather around, all the other 31 owners, and he would say, this person has to go, because we can't have that in the NFL. I do believe that. Yes, they are a bottom line league. They're all about the money. Trust me. This is the National Football League, and they know how to squeeze their fans like turnips, okay? I know because they do it to me. I'm always shelling out the dollars because I love the product. I want to watch the product all the time, and they always find how to get another $10, $15, $20 a year more from me than they should, but they do it, and they do want their bottom line. But if an owner were to say something as egregious as Donald Sterling did, I would believe he would, I would at least like to believe that he would get the same punishment that Adam Silver dropped on Donald Sterling, and that owner would be gone from the NFL. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, and I understand what Richard Sherman is talking about. You know, we do have the Washington Redskins, but look, I will debate that with anybody, anytime, any day. You want to talk to me about that, I will give you my opinions. Ed Franks, I know you're listening, dog. I know you and I, we've been down this road. So I will debate that all you want. I do not believe that name was ever meant to disrespect. It was meant to honor the coach that the Redskins had back at the time. And so I won't get started on that. I don't think that Sherman really knows the full history of that there. Has never said any of the degrading remarks that that Mr. Sterling said. So I don't think you can compare the two. But that being said, I just thought Sherman was on the wrong side. I think an owner will get punished. You can't just say anything willy-nilly anymore. You know, you just can't come out and say, I want to say X, Y, Z negative about a group, a race, an individual. You just can't do it. And I would expect that an owner of any team, be it in the NFL or NBA, would show a little bit more class and have a little bit more compassion and be a little bit more caring, especially about the players that play for his football team and make them the millions and millions of dollars that they do. Okay, that's all. I'm sorry. I got a little heavy there with the Donald Sterling thing, but I think Richard Sherman's wrong. I think an NFL owner would be asked to go. All right, usually during this segment, I'm going to have a guest on the show. And unfortunately, with how things kind of got very late, my desire was to have Mel Kiper right now talk a little. Give me a good 5-10 minutes to talk about the draft. And unfortunately, with his time constraints being in New York, I wasn't able to get him. So I'm just going to question myself then, since Mike Mel wasn't able to come on the show. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to look at Mike Mayock's mock draft, because it's time, baby. It's draft time. Draft day is upon us, and no, it's not just a movie starring Kevin Costner. It is a real-life event. All right, I went to town there. Draft day, by the way, if you haven't seen it with Kevin Costner, it's fun, but you have to remember that it's fiction. A lot of that stuff does happen in the NFL on draft day, but it doesn't get as crazy as it does in the movie. So maybe it does. I don't know, but it, what I witnessed in the movie, it went just a little too far. You know what I mean? Just a little too far. You got to rein it back just a little bit, and it would have been spot on. But they kind of decided, we need a happy ending, so let's just go a little crazy. And they did, and it's fun. It's a fun movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, Draft Day, Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, Dennis Leary, good stuff. You should check it out. Now on to the real draft day. Here is what the NFL is telling us. The what, where, and when. Basically, round one is Thursday, May 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Rounds two and three are Friday, May 9th. They start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then starting at noon Eastern Time on Saturday, May 10th, rounds four through seven. Here is the craziness. Are you ready for this? 30, a record 30, that's 3-0 players are set to attend the NFL draft this year. 30 players. Now, folks, there are only 32 picks on Thursday. Only 32 of them. I'm looking at the list right now to make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 32. That's right. Only 32 picks in round one, and there are 30 guys going to be sitting in the green room at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Now, call me crazy. Crazy, Jeff would say. There's going to be a lot of guys sitting today, too. You know, if your name is Khalil Mack or Johnny Manziel or Jadeveon Clowney, Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Clinton Dix, Clinton Dix, Marquise Lee. I'm pretty sure all you guys are going. The Sammy Watkins of the world, the Justin Gilberts of the world. I'm not sure you guys. I mean, I've seen a lot of mock drafts. I've seen a lot of mock drafts. I'm just not sure. That Sammy Watkins, this wide receiver, a lot of people like him, and I've seen some mock drafts where he's going as high as 5 to the Oakland Raiders. But you got to remember, Al Davis isn't there anymore. It's not just about speed anymore, right? It's going to be very interesting to see how all these players play out. You know, if Teddy Bridgewater starts slipping because nobody's taking quarterbacks, and he slips out of the top 10, and then he slips out of the top 20, and it's the last 12 picks, how's he going to react? What if nobody takes him? What if nobody takes a quarterback in the first round? That's a possibility. You got Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, who I think should be the number one pick. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's say everybody just decides, you know what, we don't want a quarterback this year. We'll wait till next year's class. And all those quarterbacks fall. What is life really going to be like in that green room when you've got 30 kids up there and you know, you've got 5, 6, 7 of them waiting around to the second day? That's going to be really interesting to see. But it's good for the NFL. That means they're bringing the kids out. They're trying to get them out early. I know that all those 30 young men who are there in New York right now, they did a cool thing today for the kids, a hospital. They went to visit some kids and they had a good time. So it was very interesting because they also interviewed some of the players at that time. And Jadeveon Clowney, he was like, look, man, I don't think the Houston Texans can pass on me. Sounded a little cocky, but that's going to bring me to Mike Mayock's mock draft. And basically, Mike Mayock, he's one of those that believes that quarterbacks shouldn't be taken in the first 10 picks. As a matter of fact, the first quarterback he's got going is Johnny Manziel, and he doesn't have them in the top 15. But I will tell you what he does has. He has Clowney going to the Houston Texans at 1. He's got Greg Robinson, offensive tackle from Auburn, going to St. Louis at 2. And St. Louis has got to be loving the Redskins right now. Thank you for your first-round pick, and thank you that it's in the top 5, and thank you that it's number 2. That's, remember, the pick that they got from the Washington Redskins. So they're sitting pretty there. And if that's the case, Mike Mayock has Khalil Mack going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mack from Buffalo going to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 3. He has another offensive tackle, Jake Matthews from A&M, going to Cleveland at 4. And I'm sorry, I look at those 4 teams, and Clowney might be great, and these offensive tackles might be fantastic, but who are they going to be protecting? Cleveland, Jacksonville, St. Louis, and Houston all need a quarterback. They need a quarterback right now, today. Maybe the Rams could pass on one this year, see what Sam Bradford has to offer for another year. But what we got from Sam Bradford? Doesn't really look like the guy. He's fragile, right? He's Italian. And he hasn't really been all that impressive. Now, granted, they didn't really give him a lot of weapons to throw the football to. But he hasn't looked like the guy. And we all know that the Jacksonville Jaguars need a quarterback. Let's say Clowney does go 1 to Houston and Robinson goes 2 to the St. Louis Rams. You're telling me Jacksonville is going to pass up on Johnny Football? This is Johnny Manziel. And if they pass on him and go with Khalil Mack, because everybody's been high on Mack lately, we're going to raise his stock, even though I think he might be a little overvalued. The Cleveland Browns aren't going to pass on Johnny Football at 4, right? Well, Mike Mayock, who gets paid a lot of money to be an NFL analyst for NFL.com and NFL Network, feels that Johnny Manziel isn't going to go to any of these teams that need a quarterback. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they could probably use a quarterback. They're going to pass on him too. The Minnesota Vikings at 8, they're going to pass on him too, even though, you know, they're not really sure what they're doing with a quarterback. then, you know, you've got the Tennessee Titans. Well, are they really sold on Locker? Is Locker going to be their guy? Because they could probably use a quarterback. Then, oh, look at pick 13. It's the St. Louis Rams again. So, fine, if they don't take a quarterback at number two, they've got pick number 13 that they could do something with and possibly take a quarterback there. Then you've got the Chicago Bears at 14 and the Pittsburgh Steelers at 15. Well, they got Cutler and they got Ben Roethlisberger. Unless you're looking to find their replacements now, they're not taking a quarterback. And so Mike Mayock puts Johnny Manziel to the Dallas Cowboys with the 16th pick. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Because, look, everybody's heard. Jerry Jones has come out and said, Johnny Manziel is the best player in the draft. And if he is available at 16, we're going to draft him. God, that was a horrible Jerry Jones. That was the worst Jerry Jones I've ever done in my life. That was bad. Anyways, Johnny Manziel, he does. Jerry Jones does like Johnny Manziel, likes him a lot, knows that Tony Romo's 34 years old, coming off of his second back surgery in a few years. And as much as I like Tony Romo, you guys know how much I like Tony Romo and how much I defend that cat. He's not going to be there forever. He might be there just another year, maybe two. Well, wouldn't it be cool? You get Johnny Football with the 16th pick overall, and you sit him behind Tony Romo and let him learn your offense, let him learn your system and your players. And shoot, if Romo goes down, you've got someone mobile with some skills that can come in and possibly fill in. I think it's a great situation for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a luxury pick because the Cowboys have needs on the defensive side of the ball. And if I were Jerry Jones, I would look to the defensive side of the ball. I, particularly for the Dallas Cowboys, like Anthony Barr, the linebacker from UCLA. I saw this kid play live in four games last season, and he is a really good football player. And if he's available at 16, as Mike Mayock doesn't have Barr going until the 20th pick to Arizona, that's where I would go if I'm the Dallas Cowboys. But you know what? If Johnny Manziel is sitting there at 16, he has fallen all the way down to the 16th pick. How can you pass up on this kid, especially if he gets to sit down for two, maybe three seasons, right? He gets to sit down and learn and then come out. You're not going to expect anything of him. You're just going to say, here, you are going to be my guy for the future. Learn. Learn it up. That's very interesting what Mike Mayock has there. But I'm going to go all the way back down to the top. I'm going to go to the Houston Texans with number one. And I know everything in your gut is telling you, Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney's the man. He's the best player in the draft. He's the best, certainly the best defensive end in the draft. And we need defense. I'm going to say, Houston, slow your roll, baby. Slow it. All right? Let's just go back to 2006. 8 years ago, Houston is in the exact same situation. Seriously. Exact same situation with the number one pick. They're sitting there thinking, what are we going to do? Reggie Bush, running back sensation, comes out of USC. And hometown hero, a man who was born in Houston and had just led the Texas Longhorns to the national championship, is coming out of the draft. Now, you're saying, Steven, Vince Young didn't do all that good in the NFL. Well, we don't know what happens if he goes to Houston and plays in that system. It plays in his home. Remember, one of the things that his problem was in Tennessee is that he missed home. Heck, I'm from Texas. I miss home, too. I understand that. So it could have been a completely different situation for Vince Young had he been drafted by the Houston Texans. And Reggie Bush is still provided solid offensive power to the Detroit Lions right now. No, they decided they didn't want offense. They went to the defensive side of the ball, and they took Mario Williams. You know what? How'd that work out for them? Mario Williams is no longer with the team. And in his six seasons with the Houston Texans, only twice did he post double-digit sacks. and he never cracks 60 combined tackles in a season. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get for your number one pick. I'm talking about the number one pick overall, not just a pick in the first round. This is the number one pick. 12 tackles, 12 sacks, and his best season, I think, was 12 sacks and 53 tackles. That's not going to get you anywhere in the playoffs, people. And that's why Mario Williams has probably had his best two seasons, these last two seasons, with the Buffalo Bills. 10.5 sacks 2 years ago, and last season he had 13 sacks. Probably his best two seasons, and they weren't for the Houston Texans. So here you are in a situation where, Clowney is a specimen. He is a beast. I understand it. The dude is just what everybody is saying. 6'6", 266. He's fast. He's agile. He's got arms like a beast. But look, you've already got Cushing. You've already got J.J. Watt. Your defense is pretty much set. Your problem was last year on offense, you stunk. You were horrible offensively last year, Houston. Defense was okay. It wasn't the best, especially once Cushing got hurt and had to miss the rest of the season. Wasn't the best, but those guys are coming back. He's coming back. Why would you go and add a piece to your defense that isn't going to put you over the hump when you can shoot for the stars and take a Johnny Manziel who's there and he's there to learn and he's there with his mobility? And I'm telling you, I don't know how healthy he might stay in the National Football League, seeing what's happened to RG3 over the last couple seasons. But if he stays healthy, that cat's going to be special. He has – think of it this way. I can't believe I'm about to throw I'm about to throw this name out there, okay? Because I don't even know. I don't even know if I can say this, but here's Johnny Football. All right, I'm not going to compare him to who I wanted to compare him to. But okay, I'm just gonna say it for you people, because I know I don't want to leave you hanging. All right, think of Johnny Manziel as a Tim Tebow who can actually throw the football. All right, Johnny Manziel can throw the football. He can run too, but that's not what he's going to want to do in the NFL. I kind of liken him a little bit, instead of Tim Tebow, I liken him a little bit to Russell Wilson up in Seattle. He's elusive. He can extend plays. He's got a heck of an arm. And if he needs to get out with his mobility, he can do that. And it just brings an intrinsic value to your offense that you're not going to get if you pass up on him. And if you pass up on him and he goes on to have the superstar career that a lot of people believe he's going to have, then you're sitting there shaking your head like, man, we passed up on Johnny Manziel. We had the number one pick, and we didn't bite the bullet, and we didn't take him. And that's going to be your legacy as a GM, Rick Smith. That's right. Right now I'm talking to the Texans general manager, Rick Smith. That is going to be your legacy. If you pass up on Johnny freaking Football Manziel and do not take him with the number one pick, that will be your legacy. Rick Smith, you're the guy who didn't take Johnny Manziel, number one. That's what you're going to be stuck with. Clowney will be great, and he might improve your defense, but he's not going to get your offense to where you need to be to go to the promised land. So there you go. I've said it. I think Rick Smith, in an interview this afternoon, earlier today, he said that he has had enough conversations to legitimately move out from the first overall pick. So it's something they're considering. And what's kind of interesting about this draft is that right now, until we get the Houston Texans on the clock, and they come out and either trade their pick or make a pick, we don't know how the rest of the draft is going to go. I surely don't believe that I know enough right now of how this draft is going to go, because I don't know what the Houston Texans are doing. I don't even think the Houston Texans right now know what they're doing. This is kind of a little bit of the situation where it's draft day. It's going to be tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Rick Smith's going to wake up. He's going to look at his phone. He's probably already going to have 4 or 5 texts and a couple of voicemails. And he's going to have to pick them up and listen to them and figure out, what are we doing? He's going to have to just sit there and be like, all right, if we go defense, it's Clowney or Khalil Mack. If it's offense, it's Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel. If we don't keep the pick and we trade it to someone, what do we want to get for it? And that's the problem, because everybody knows you're stuck up there at 1. You don't really want to be there. Nobody's going to trade and give you the stuff that the St. Louis Rams got from the Washington Redskins. No one's going to give you 2, 3 first-rounders. They'll give you their first rounder this year and maybe a second or a third rounder next year, but that's about all you're going to get. And is that enough? Rick Smith has to sit there and say, is that enough for me to want to move and drop out of the first spot? I don't think it's enough, because I think Johnny Football is there. And, all right, I won't call him Johnny Football right now. I'll call him Johnny Manziel until he actually starts doing some football in the National Football League. But that's where I would go. And Rick Smith, look, I don't want to be in his shoes right now. I don't want to be the guy who decides we trade this pick, we go for Johnny Manziel, or we pass on Manziel and we go defense again and pick up Clown. It's going to be a great show to watch. And that's why we're all going to be tuning in, 5 p.m. Pacific time, turn on the telly and let's see what's going on. What's going on in the NFL? What's what? Who's who? What the what? That's how it's going to be. People are going to be like, what the what? What'd they do? So it's interesting. Of course, that could all just be draft talk, and Rick Smith hasn't really actually talked to anybody, and nobody actually has approached him to move up to the number one pick. But after watching draft day, I'm sure that is kind of true. He has had some conversations. The fact is, he's just not getting what he needs to move, and I don't think he's going to get what they're asking. If they're asking for 2 first-rounders, that I'm just not sure that anybody wants to do that. This draft isn't that deep. Well, scratch that. Let me change that. It's deep in where I think you're going to find some value players in the 3rd round, in the 4th round, maybe even in the 5th round that can help your team. But at the positions, at quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver, I'm not sure that it's that deep in those positions. And so it's gonna be interesting, because you can have some of those players at those spots later on in the 2nd and 3rd rounds that are still going to be just as good. And it's going to be tough for Rick Smith and the Houston Texans. Everybody says Clowney. I think I've seen only one mock draft that has the Houston Texans taking Johnny Manziel. And it may or may not have been my mock draft, but I think it's only one that I've seen. It's going to be interesting. They're really, he could be sitting there 3 years from now and they'd be like, oh, you're Rick Smith without a job.
Boob of the day.
You let Johnny get away, right? I mean, that could very easily be the situation that Rick Smith finds himself. So it's going to be interesting. That's coming up. The draft just a few hours away from now. I'm certainly interested to find out how it is all going to play out. And now it's time, my friends, for listener questions. So earlier in the day, as we used to do in the past, I put up on Twitter and Facebook and asking you guys to shoot your questions my way. And there were quite a few. And I'm very, very happy that there were quite a few, because it gives me a lot of information what you guys want to be talking about. And it lets me just talk to you guys that way. Got some questions from Facebook. We'll start with Sharon, the lovely Sharon Blackman. What would you do with the number one pick if you were the Texans? Well, I just think I spent the last 15 minutes covering that, Sharon. I take Johnny Manziel. That's me. I want offense. Defense may win championships, but if you can't score any points, doesn't matter how good your defense is. So I'm gonna say it's a quarterback-driven league. I want Johnny Manziel. Sharon also asked, are you guys live tweeting the draft? I'm not sure what Jeff is doing. I know he's at the draft. I am not there, but I am making a party of it. Jeff's son Jordan and his daughter Kara and my daughters, we're all going to be watching the round one, and I will be tweeting my comments. So make sure that you're following us on Twitter. I won't be doing much on Facebook during the draft. I am even thinking about possibly running a live blog where you guys can comment on my comments. I'm still not sure if that's the way we're going to do it, but make sure you're at least following NFL R&R on Twitter. Alistair Miller, what's up, Mr. Miller? He says, who the hell are the Rockets anyways? the Radio City Rockets. Come on, Alistair. If you don't know who the Rockets are, dog, you need to get the Google, if you know what I mean. Google it up. Let's see some nice pictures there, my friend. Ed Franks. Mr. Franks, how you doing, bud? How is life at Penn State? Ed asks, what do you think of the players being able to select their walk-up music for the stroll to the podium a la MLB? Yo, man, I heard about this today. Basically, Rich Eisen, actually, of NFL Network, was the one who kind of let it out the bag. So the 30 guys that are there, they were all asked, what is the music, the song that you want to get played when your name is announced and you're selected and you're going to walk up and you're going to hug the commissioner? So it's really interesting concept, because before, I think it was pretty much the same kind of like little rock and roll, bah, 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 and they all walk out and they do the hug and they get to hold the jersey. I think it's cool. The only problem with this, though, Ed, all right, is you got to make sure you come strong with a song, okay? Don't be, you know, I would see, because like right now, like one of my favorite songs is Happy, you know, so I don't think it'd be cool. I don't think you would be seen as like a stud if you walk out, because I'm happy, you know. Don't pick that song. You know, you got to make sure you come out with a song like, you know, like AC/DC's Back, you know, you know, that's what you got to come with. Or you may want to come in with a little bit of, see what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about. And you come out and you strut. You just strut it out of stage. Yeah. You know, and just I don't know if Jeff's going to listen to it, but if he does, he might want to jump out to this. Throw snowflakes out at everybody as you're walking onto the stage. You know, you got to be careful, because everybody now knows you picked this song, okay? You picked it. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be fun. We'll see how it works out. I am very curious to see some of the songs. You know, because let's say you know there's a dude and he really likes, Miley Cyrus, and he comes out to Wrecking Ball. You know, I'm a wrecking ball. It's like, that might sound pretty good right now, but, you know, 10 years from now, people be like, he walked out to what? He was a wrecking ball? What? Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Maybe too much power to the players. Maybe they shouldn't have done that, but I think it'll be fun. All right, Richard Gravesy, our colleague from Sky Sports News, says, if the Jaguars don't take Manziel at 3, do they trade back and get Bortles, Carr, Bridgewater, or do they go with Chad Henne next season? Okay. I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars can afford to pass up on Manziel at 3 if he's there. Once again, I still am pushing for the Houston Texans to take the kid. But if he is there and you're Jacksonville and you're saying you're going to go with Chad Henne over Johnny Manziel, I don't see how you could justify that to me as a fan. If I'm a fan of the Jaguars, I want someone at quarterback. We've tried the Henne situation and the Gabbert and all of these guys. I want my QB right now. So whether you decide it's Bortles or Bridgewater or Manziel, you cannot pass on a quarterback at three. You're at number three. You're in a great position to nab one of those guys right now. If they are there, you have to take it. And I know Mike Mayock, he doesn't believe in that. Mike Mayock says that the Jacksonville Jaguars should take Khalil Mack because he's the third best player on the board. But, you know, you're not really looking at need. So, but you know what? It's a whole new regime there in Jacksonville. It's a whole new regime. So we'll see what happens. Stefan Radcliffe, Mr. Radcliffe is being funny. He says, "Who are you again?" Ha! Yeah, it has been a while. It has been. But I'm back. And I will be back for the entire season. That I do promise you. And I will try to continue to bring you edutainment. Educate and entertain at the same time. I hope I am doing a good job of that tonight. James Reese, Mr. Reese, our Excel spreadsheet guru guy. In a draft where most teams seem to want to trade down, how little will they get in return? Well, I think I made that point earlier in the show, Reese. I think there's not much. You know, the Houston Texans are asking for two first-rouners. They're certainly not going to get that for the number one pick. You'll get my first and maybe my third this year, or my first and my second next year, but you're not going to get two first-rounders, not for this draft. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Derek Hanlon, he says, what do the Browns do? Stay and take a QB? Stay and take another position, trade down, take a QB in the second pick. Well, there's a whole bunch of questions there, Derek. I said one, buddy. I really don't know what the Cleveland Browns are going to do. Mostly because I don't know what the three people in front of the Cleveland Browns are going to do. But once again, you know, they let Brandon Whedon go. That was their guy, right? He's now backing up Tony Romo in Dallas. So, once again, I think you got to look at quarterback. You're another team right there. You're the Cleveland Browns, and you need to look at the quarterback position. You need to take a hard look. You're in need of a lot of things. You need offensive linemen. You need wide receivers. You need quarterback. You're pretty good on defensive side of the ball. You were in a lot of ball games last year. You could probably use a linebacker or two. I don't see, once again, it's quarterback. It is a quarterback. I can't stress this enough, and I think a lot of people have kind of been saying it now for a few years. It's a quarterback-driven league. That is what the National Football League has become. You need a quarterback, and if you don't have a quarterback that can be the star for your team, you're really not going to go anywhere. And the Cleveland Browns right now got a host of quarterbacks. They got Brian Hoyer, who hopefully he comes back and he returns healthy. They picked up Vince Young. That was very interesting. Tyler Thigpen's on their roster. So there's a lot of possibilities there for the Cleveland Browns, but are those guys long-term? And if you can get someone long-term now, that do it now. If they don't take one in the first round, they certainly have to take one in the second round, and we'll see what the Browns do there. Steve Moore asks, how trade heavy will the first round be? That's a good question. Last year I was shocked when I was there in New York for the draft and saw how crazy and trade intensive it was. I think there were, all in all, on day one, they wound up being like 9 or 10 trades. It really blew my mind how many trades there were for on round one. It could be the same because I think there are some teams who believe that, you know, they're pretty good, you know, and they will try to trade down and stockpile draft picks and hopefully get the players later. You know, I always think of this. The New England Patriots have traded away their pick. You know, they're a team who always, you don't know what they're going to do. Bill Belichick likes to trade picks and stockpile more draft picks. So I think there's going to be plenty. I'm not sure it'll reach the 9 or 10 that there were last year, but I think there'll be plenty of movement going on in the first round. Mark Feltham, not a draft question. Where can I find tickets to Miami versus Raiders in London that aren't fake or overpriced? I know I'm late, but missed the online sales earlier in the year. Sorry, dude. You should have been ready to snatch those tickets. But do, Mark, shoot me an email, steven@rarn.net, and I'll give you an address where you can go and kind of check up. I know they're still got some tickets that they're going to be kind of releasing in waves. Not many, but a few. And some are returned back, and they kind of re-release those as well. So shoot me an email, and I'll let you know how to get a hold of those. And finally, Julian Blair, this is a novel of a question. I've been watching draft coverage for many years. However, is it my imagination or are teams finding it harder and harder to justify a player being picked in the top 10 picks? It was the case that the contract given to the number one pick was far too expensive. However, this isn't really the case anymore, but I keep hearing more and more how teams want to move back away from the top of the draft. Are analysts getting too clever for their own good? I guess I could have just read that line. Julian, I'm not sure I keep hearing. I know that the number one pick this year is not too coveted. But I know there are some teams that have contacted the Rams and contacted the Jags that want to move up. So I'm not sure that people want to move out of the top 10. I know being number one isn't too good. The great thing is that now with the rookie salary cap, it's going to be all right. You don't have to pay the $50, $55 million for a guy taking number one anymore. That's just no longer the case. And because of that, I think you'll see a lot of teams that are going to be okay wanting to move up into the top 10. So, like I said, there's a lot of movement last year, and I expect to see a lot of movement again this year. Andy Pettifer says, why shouldn't the Rams trade down? And do they pick a QB later in the draft? Well, I'm not saying the Rams shouldn't trade down. They shouldn't trade down if they plan on taking one of the top quarterbacks. They should just grab them at two. You got to remember, they also have their own pick at number 13. So if they trade down, how far are they willing to go? And are they going to take a quarterback later in the first round? Or are they going to wait till the second round? The cool thing for the Rams, they're in a pretty solid position having, you know, two picks in the top 15. That's money. That's like butter. So it's going to be interesting. I think that the St. Louis Rams are right now, they're kind of like in the driver's seat of the first round because they got two picks that they could play with. They can move down from two. They can move down from 13 and pick up a whole bunch of picks for future years. So it all depends what the front office there wants to do in St. Louis. I would stay put, though, and if I'm not happy with Bradford, if Fisher has decided Bradford's not my guy, then I take a quarterback right now. But maybe he wants to give Bradford another try to pick up some weapons for him. Martin Joyce says, what was the best meal you've had during the break? I cooked a very awesome steak. And actually, you know what? The ribs. We had the Walking Dead season finale party at my house. And a buddy of mine grilled some ribs. Oh, my gosh. All the food that day was fantastic to go with a pretty, pretty fantastic show. We got two questions from Twitter. Johnny V asks, are we going to see a running back go in the first round this year? If not, is it due to the lack of running back talent or the transition away from running the ball? That's a great question, Johnny. And do I believe a running back is taken in the first round? I think last year became the first year in like 60 years where a running back wasn't taken in the first round. And I believe this is going to be the second year in a row where a running back's not taken in the first round. I know it's crazy. And I don't think it has anything to do with talent. I think there's a couple talented running backs coming out into the draft this year. I just don't think that that people value running backs the way they used to. Now, I think it was Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders. It might have been Barry Sanders, actually, last week said that he believes that running backs are going to make a comeback and they're going to become a force to be reckoned with in the league again. I'm going to be interested to see if that happens. But for right now, no, I don't see a running back going in the top 32 picks this year. And finally, T.R. Helon, if Texans were to trade down, what kind of deal do you think they could get? Well, I've already talked about that earlier. I don't think there's a lot of people that want to move up. So I think the best they're going to do is a first-rounder this year and a third-rounder or fourth-rounder later this year as well. Or if they want a first-rounder this year, they might get a second-rounder next year. So that's about it. I'm going to be interested to see what happens tomorrow because the Houston Texans, it's all dependent on what Houston does with number one. And if they trade down, they may not get all the good stuff that people were giving a few years ago. All right, finally, thank you once again for coming back. I know that NFL Rants and Raves has been away for a while. I guess it's really actually after the Super Bowl. We kind of were quiet, and then we did our Ravy show, and then boom, we left you quiet. But I am back. One of the reasons why I decided to continue the show is I always thought when I started the show, how cool would it be if I could do this for 10 years? If I could do 10 seasons of football, I would just love it. And I want to hit that mark, and I think that's why I'm back for a 10th. I don't want to say it's the final season. It could quite possibly be the final season, but hopefully not. But thank you. The fact that you guys have stuck around and continued listening to the show, really appreciate it. So once again, thanks for listening to this show. I know it was a little different. I hope it doesn't get crazy. One whole hour of me ranting and raving about some stuff as I've done today. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to keep bringing you the NFL. Wherever you are, whatever country you're listening in, whatever language you're listening in. Well, it's only English because that's all I do to show it, unless you have some cool translator thing that translates my voice. But seriously, whatever country you're in, wherever you are in this great big world of ours, for some of you astronauts that are listening out there in space, I just want to thank all of you for continuing to listen to the show. If you're not following NFL Rants and Raves on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, get on it. I plan to make some modifications, and I plan to at least post something once a day, if not multiple times a day, to kind of keep some fresh news and information on the sites, especially some cool pictures that I'll be able to get to do as I travel to some of the games. Find all our social media handles. For Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if you just go to www.nflrnr.com, right on the homepage up at the top under your registration button, there are all the links to all of our social media outlets. It's going to be a great year. I'm excited. I'm excited for what I'll be able to bring to you guys. All the connections that I've made over the last 10 years. I hope to have some fun guests appear weekly on the show and get to have some players, hopefully current and alumni players, come chat and talk some football with me over season 10. So once again, I'm Steven Miranda. Thank you for listening to NFL Rants and Raves episode 10.01. I'm out.